Rabbeinu Yona in different areas of his Perushim has wonderful practical insights of Musar in every aspect of a person's life. For example, regarding the study of Torah, he brings down in his Perush to Mishnayis, to Masechtas Ovis. Rav Tarfon says, Lo yalecho hamlocha ligmoy. Rav Tarfon basically says that it's not for you to complete the work. So Rabbeinu Yona continues there, he says, don't say to yourself, I don't have a broad capacity, he says, for studying Torah, nor will it ever be possible for me to complete the entire text or the entire Masechta. Or you will say, of what avail will it be my toil? Because lo yalecha hamlocha ligmor, which means it's not incumbent upon you to complete it. But rather, he says, whenever a person toils in limud haTorah, you'll have completed and fulfilled the mitzvah, he says, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that every ois and every word that a person learns is already an accomplishment within itself. And therefore, we don't measure the success by how much a person has completed lo yalecha hamlocha ligmor, as long as he doesn't waste his time. Interesting also, he points out, in matter of fact, in Shari Tshuva, in Shari Gimel, regarding the posik that says, Loi Saguru Mipnei Ish, Ki Amishpet L'Elokim Hu. The posik says that a shofet, a judge, a dayan, should not fear any man. Why not? And the reason it says is, Ki Amishpet L'Elokim Hu, because the judgment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Now what does that mean? Don't fear anyone. Don't fear any individual. Ki amishpat l'elokim hu. So says Rabbeinu Yoni, he says that, of course, the pasuk here is instructing us to believe that no harm, he says, will come to us because of the equitable dispensation of justice. What causes many times a dying, possibly to sort of like circumvent or maybe bend the rule, because he's afraid if he'll pasken the right way, many times he may stand to lose. So, in the posik lo yisaguru mipnei ish, says Rabbeinu Yoina, what that posik basically is telling you, a havtocha. It's havtocha, it's a promise. Do not fear to dispense proper justice, because no harm will come. By not favoring, he says, the rich or whoever. And therefore he says, this is what the posik says. The posik lo yisaguru mipnei ish, why not? Ki Amishpat, he says, Lelokimhu, because no harm will come, because the Mishpat is really in the hands of Hashem. Ki Amishpat Lelokimhu. And therefore, when you decide the right way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands behind it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands behind it, he will protect the Dayim that he should not have to fear from any negative consequences. That's an interesting pshat of Rabbeinu Yoina regarding the words, Lo Yisagur Mipnish, Ki Amishpat Lelokimhu. Interesting regarding Gaiva, where the Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, regarding a Melech Yisrael, the Pasuk says regarding a Melech Yisrael, it says, Lebilti rum levovoi meyechov, that the king should make sure, in spite of the fact that he's a king, however, his attitude should still be an attitude of anova, and he should not lift up his heart. Lebilti rum levovoi meyechov, he should not lift up his heart above his brothers. So he points out, actually, in Shar Gimel, Rabbeinu Yoina writes, and he says the following. He says, this posik instructs a yid to remove from himself the trait of gaiva. And he says, a great man, he says, shall not look down, he says, with gaiva upon a man of a lesser stature. Which, of course, this would seem to be the posh to posik. But the nekuda is, of course, that many times a person is in a position on a higher level than someone else. But that is the position. But the attitude of the person is that the position should not create within a person a feeling of gaiva, that he stands really above others. It's a very incredible thing that the Chidah brings down regarding, he says, Shomati Mirav Zoken, I heard from an old Rav, that's Mekubal B'Yodoy, that in the time of the Mashal, so you're talking about in the 16th century, in the 1500s, that the Mashal of Shlomo Luria, underneath the Beis Medrash, there was a store, a Moicher Yeroki, somebody who sold vegetables. And the name of the owner of that store, his name was Rav Avraham. who basically was another tznua, was a very unassuming person, a very quiet person, a very private person, a very calm person, and basically didn't have any masa matan with any people other than doing the business, selling the vegetables and so on and so forth, but otherwise he did not really socialize much. He was an ish tznua. And that store was not only the store where he did his business in, that's actually where we lived also. In the same place, one room, a section was set aside for his business, selling his yerokis. And the rest of the house, that's where he lived. He points out that one night the marshal got up in the middle of the night, and he was able to hear that Rabbi Avraham was learning a very, very deep sugya. And he explains it as Marshal was listening, and he hears how this Rabbi Avraham was explaining the sugya with tremendous depth, tremendous amkus. And the Marshal really was startled and was astonished. He realized that he had before him this Rabbi Avraham, this quiet, push the heat, very calm and simple person, was a goyin olam, someone who was able to impress a person of the stature of the Marshal. He realized that he has a Gavra Rabbi here, a very great man, so he sends a shliach to... What did he send the shliach? He sends the shliach to go and present this Rabbi Avraham with a particular, very difficult shaila. Mashal had a particular shaila, and being that he recognized the gathers of this Rabbi Avraham, so he sends the shliach to present Rabbi Avraham with the shaila. When the shliach arrives, Rabbi Avraham says, Mashal is sending to me, I'm an Amoritz. He says, I don't know anything. Last person you want to send the shaila to me. I have no idea why the Mashal didn't want to send the shaila to me. The Mashal, of course, knew the truth because he had overheard. And he didn't sit by, and he continued sending the shliach, and finally, when that didn't work, so b'gzeiris morad asra, the mashal was the Rav of Lublin, so b'gzeiris morad asra, he said to him that you have to answer this shaila, because I know the truth. Rabbi Avraham, he says, did respond with all of his clarity, with all of his godless, and with tremendous chokhmah hafla vefele. It was just amazing knowledge that came out of the mouth of this Rabbi Avraham. However, he made it tonight. This Rabbi Avraham made it tonight with a Marshal, that the Marshal should keep it a secret. The Marshal happened to come out upon it. He knows the truth. But the Marshal should keep it a secret. And to no one should the Marshal reveal that this man is such a, that this Rabbi Avraham has this koyach of londis. And this is the way it was. The Marshal in private, though, would have various study sessions with this Rabbi Avraham, and there would be mefalpel and Torah from time to time, but no one else knew the secret. No one knew it. It was in the year Shin Lamed Gimel, which was in 1573, which was just about the time that the Mashal was Nifter. The time Mashal was Nifter, so he leaves a tzvo. He leaves his last wishes that the appoint as the next Rav of Lublin will be Rabbi Avraham Moicher Yerokis. He becomes the next Rav of Lublin, because he said, Ki ein godel kamayu, because there's no one who has this godless. And this tzavah of the Marshal came as a thunderbolt to the Bnei Oir and to the leaders of the community. And in spite of the tzavah of the Marshal, they had a lot of difficulty until they finally did fulfill that wish. But it came with a lot of consideration, because they just couldn't digest this idea that this Rabbi Avraham, well, he's such a godly be Yisrael, they know him, that he's the guy who sells the fruits and the vegetables. Says the Chido, and I want to quote you the Loshen. Writes the Chido in the Sefer Shem HaGdolim. Umi sheyesh lo leif. He says, Yikach Musar Haskel ad kama hatznias voha anove. Again, bringing out the Gaiva we spoke about before, Labilti Rum Lavovoy Meyechov, and something that the Shaar Tshuva speaks about so much, that see how far the mid of Tznius and Anova takes a person, Lahagia L'Toyro L'Shmo L'Chochma. This Rabbi Avraham, it's not that he was a godel, and he was a nonov not to show it. It started the other way around. The Chiddush says, being that he was such a gevaldi geonov, he was like a zoich, was such a siyata d'shmai, to grow in Torah, that Kosh Baruch was mashpia to him all of that knowledge. And therefore the Chiddush says, come and see how far Tznius and Anova takes you. It's an Amtsoi. That's really the way. That's really the catalyst. Lahagil l'toyr l'shmol l'chochma. Ki toyrosoi machrezes olof kihu ron v'nisov. At the end of the day, it'll come out. His covet and his glory will shine. Lashem lo yimna toiv l'hoilchim b'tomim. Because Baruch Hu will not be meneya, will not hold back a toiv that is due someone, in spite of the fact that he's trying to hide it so much. But the credit and the schar that is due a person is, as we say, called Barech Min HaKovet, HaKovet is Barech Acharov. So this is a very interesting thing. We, Rabbi Isai, are going to continue here in the Shari Tshuva Shar Rishon. We are here at Sif Yud Ches. V'diber Shloime Olav HaSholem Al Dvar HaTshuva. In other words, basically, the Shari Tshuva here is being Mamshich. We are speaking about this particular Iker now as we go into the career of Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva tells us all the various Ikrim, all the various aspects that the Baal Tshuva has to adopt. At this particular point, again, Shar Rishon Sif Yud Ches, we're continuing with the Iker of Daiga, that the Baal Tshuva, in addition to all of these situations that we said he has to have Charote, and he has his Vidui, he has his Azivas Achet, but then he also spoke about Yogoin, and about feeling sorry about his past, but then there's also the Musik of Daiga. Daiga is worrying about the future, that he should be able to maintain this level of Tshuva, and to continue, as a matter of fact, even to grow, and not to feel overly confident that the Yetzer Hara will no longer be able to dominate him. And this should be a constant daige, uppermost in the mind of the Baal Tshuva. So he continues with this theme now, that we find that V'dibir Shloime Olav HaSholem, that Shloime HaMelech, also when he speaks Al Dvar HaTshuva, Uparat Boi HaInyan Hazeh. And Shloime HaMelech, as a matter of fact, also makes reference to Inyan Hazeh. What's Inyan Hazeh meaning? Inyan Hazeh means legabe the Inyan of Daiga, the importance the Baal Tshuva has, the Daiga has, the worry, not being confident, but continuing to work on his Yerushimayim, as he mentions many times, and I'll mention it again, to be sure that he grows in his Madrega of Tshuva, and certainly be able to stand on guard that the Yetzer Hara will not return and be able to take the best of him. Yetzer Hara will try. Yetzer Hara always tries. Yetzer Hara will not be able to be machshel him as he did in the previous. And actually, what to tell you the structure of this Sif Yud Ches, and then also Sif Yud Tes, the Shari Tshuva here, Rabbeinu Yonah, is basing what he's trying to say on a pasuk as Mishle, as he starts with Dibur Shloime Olav HaSholem. He starts with Shloime HaMelech. As you can see, this is a pasuk in Mishle Chof Ches Yud Beis, but really we're going to be presented with three psukim. The real posik that he wants to emphasize, that he wants to emphasize the inyan of daig of the Baal Tshuva, is going to be the third posik. However, before he gets to the third posik, he's magdim as hakdama two messages in the first two psukim. Why it's necessary to mention the first two psukim? Because the posik again that emphasizes the importance that the Baal Tshuva has daig is in the third posik. One problem, however, that third posik, which is a known pasuk, Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid. Praiseworthy is the man who is always fearful. Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid. What Rabbeinu Yonah would like to tell us, that the fear means the fear, the daigah, the worry that this pasuk is talking about Tshuva. The emes is, there are many different interpretations of this pasuk, Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid. In the sugi of Kamtze Bar Kamtze, Tosfos there in the beginning of the sugi brings down this posik as well from a Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara in Brachos, as a matter of fact, explains, interprets this posik. What are we supposed to be afraid about? Ashrei Yodom. Praiseworthy is the man. Right? That's a Mefachi Tomit. What's that referring to? So Tosfos brings down, he's supposed to be afraid of forgetting his learning. A person should always worry that the Torah that he learns remains with him, that it stays with him. Ashrei Yodom Mefachi Tomit. And therefore he will continue to chazer and do whatever is possible to make sure that he keeps the Torah, that the Torah is absorbed within him, and the Torah stays with him. Rabbeinu Yonah, on the other hand, here, it's not a stira, but again, there's many kavanos in the posik, wants to point out that Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid is talking about a Baal Tshuva, that a Baal Tshuva, now he's a Baal Tshuva, so he says, okay, now I'm a Baal Tshuva, nothing to worry about. No, Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid is talking specifically about the Baal Tshuva, that the Baal Tshuva, in fact, should always be fearful, should always be fearful that he doesn't slip again. How and from where do we get this notion that the posik Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid is talking about a Baal Tshuva? Therefore, he brings the hakdama of the first two psukim. In the first two psukim, we will see it talks about the areas of tshuva. So, mail the hemshech, it follows that the hemshech, that third posik that we need, that's really the focus. The third posik Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid, daige, referring to a Baal Tshuva. Because the third posik, logically, should follow the hemshech, the previous. And the previous psukim, the first two, are talking about in the areas of tzaddikim, rishoyim, and tshuva. So Ashrei Yodom Mefachei Tomid stands to follow, is also talking about the Baal Tshuva. So the truth is, what we have now, in the next few lines is really a hakdome to show that we're talking about Abal Tshuva. So mel, when we come to the Iker is going to be in the next sif, Ashri Yodem Mefachi Tomid, that's talking about the Abal Tshuva, that Abal Tshuva, in fact, should always stand on guard. Actually, in Sif Chof it's going to be. This is Sif Yud Ches. So, the first posik of the three, the posik says as follows. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishle, Ba'aloitz Tzadikim Rabot Tiferes. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us there are different times that we live in. There are times when people respect Tzadikim. There are times when Tzadikim are rejoicing in the sense that they seem to have a hashpah on the world, or at least in their surroundings. But on the other hand, there are other times where the Rishoyim have the upper hand. The Rishoyim have the upper hand, and the Rishoyim are expected, and therefore the influence of the Rishoyim are upon the people. So Shlomo HaMelech as follows. Ba'aloi tzadikim, when we live in a time when tzadikim can rejoice, when tzadikim have the power, rabot tiferes, that's a time where there's much glory in the world or in the area. Because if tzadikim are dominant force, tzadikim are the koyach, so then it becomes a beautiful world. So ba'aloi tzadikim, when tzadikim are in power, when tzadikim have the upper hand, when tzadikim can rejoice, rabot tiferes, there's a lot of glory. However, ubikum rishoyim, but when rishoyim rise up, then yechupos odom, then it's a time that basically that victims are sought out. In other words, many, many victims fall prey to the fact that the rishoyim have the upper hand. So the posik talks about tzadikim, and the posik talks about rishoyim. Now, if we were to stand here and ask ourselves, so what does a tzadik mean? What does a rasha mean? What even was a tzaddik? Tzaddik is, of course, a person who's a shomer Torah mitzvahs. The rosh is the opposite. The rosh is someone who's not a shomer Torah mitzvahs. We know that. Comes the Sar Tshuva and says something that pinpoints a particular character trait. If you have to pick one, if you're forced to pick a particular character trait, which will define this as a tzaddik, and someone who does not have it is a rosh. What character trait would that be? A particular one. Says the Shaar Tshuva, Pirish. When the Pasuk talks about Tzadikim having influence versus Rishoyim having influence, HaTzadikim mefo'arin u'mechabdin b'nei yodom al kol ma'il toiv ha'nimtzeis b'hem. That's a Tzadik. A Tzadik is not just a person who's a Shomer Shabbos. You have to be a Shomer Shabbos. Tzadik is not someone dafke who gives chesed, who does chesed. A Tzadik is defined by how he views other people, that can always see the good and find the good in people. It's a tremendous maila. It's an essential maila. A tzaddik is someone that is mufa'arim or mechabdin, that they praise and give honor to people. I'll call maila toiva nimtzeis behem. In any maila toiva that they have. By the way, let me tell you something. That there is a chaya odom, which states lahaloche, it's a hafla of a fella. When you think about the mitzvah of kiburav, so Kibbud Av really encompasses many, many things. On a simple level, Kibbud Av is your father asks something from you, do something for me. Of course, you fulfill his wishes, you do his bidding, and you find ways to be mechabed your father, Kibbud Av. But that's not enough. Chayodom says the essence of Kibbud Av is to find a midah, he says, that you can respect your father also. Which means to say that even if someone has a father who basically, looking at him on the outside, no one in the community really respects him. And possibly for good reason also. But he's your father. In order for you to be Mekayim Kibbud Av, you have to sit down, look through, take stock, and find an nekuda that you feel that your father has a maila toiva, and respect him for that. That's what Kibbud Av demands. Kirat demands to find something that you can really respect him. So merely to do something for him, which is a nice thing, which is important to do, and you should be doing, to teres machayev, but that's not enough. That's not called kibud in its true sense. Kibud to be machabed means you extend honor. Why would you, do you honor someone? You honor someone because he deserves respect. So what do you do if your father, you cannot find anything? Then you're not mekayim really kibud av, in its true sense, in its real sense. Chayodim says the obligation of a son is to find a nekudah. And if you think hard enough, you will be able to find there is something, there is a dover toiv. There's a dover toiv in anyone, in everyone. And therefore, says here the Shaar Tshuva, Tzaddikim praise people, the mechat people, on any milah toiva that they find. The Rishoyim is just the opposite. Rishoyim don't care about the milah toivas. They are always looking for the chesroinus of people. The Rishoyim mechapsim mumei b'nei yodom. The Rishoyim always are searching for the faults of people. They are searching for the faults of people, ushgiyosom, and their errors, the hashpilim, in order to lower them. That is the derech of Rishoyim. Complete contrast to Tzaddikim. Even more, you know how far, says the Shaar Tshuva, this goes. The Rosha. The Rosha was always trying to find fault. He'll try to find the fault that might have been a past fault, which a person no longer even has that fault, because he already changed his life. But the fact that this was a fault in the past life or many years ago, the Rosha focuses on the Ovar instead of looking at the Hoiva, looking at the present. So he says, Va'afal pishi kvar hinichu ha'maise mohev, b'chozer b'tshuva. And even though he says those people already have abandoned those bad maisim, and they're chozer b'tshuva, nevertheless, the Rosha is someone who finds and picks out dafke, the fault. So it's a very fascinating nekuda that Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mir Mashgiach, points out. And he says, what you see from the Shaar Tshuva really gave us a hagadora, how to classify a definition of a tzaddik and a rosha. I mean, is that all that's about a tzaddik and a rosha? This nekuda? I mean, of course, to be a tzaddik, of course, it demands a lot of things you have to do to be a tzaddik, basically. You have to be a shomer Torah mitzvah all around, very well rounded. And yet, if you want to pick a nekuda, tzaddik and rosha, this is what the Shaar Tshuva chose to pick, and Rabbi Yeruchim points out, because this particular midah toiva is really defined what kind of a neshama you have. To have a neshama that's able to see the good in people, that is really the neshama of a tzaddik. Now, of course, you have to do maisim toivim as well. But this defines the neshama, because the edelkeit of the neshama, he said, the refinement of the neshama is someone who is able to find the good in other people. And the opposite is the practice of a rosha. So this is a true eye-opener of all the things to define the difference and to categorize the tzaddik in a rosha. The Shaar Tshuva picks this nekuda. This nekuda of defining people. Now, achar kach omar. Now comes Rabbeinu Yoina now to the second posik. Remember, there's a series of three psukim. He really wants to get to the third posik. Ashra yodah mefachet tomid. But now we're at the second posik. What does the second posik say? Achar kach omar, the posik says, mechase pshoav lo yatzliach, umoide v'oizev yeruchim. Again, this is the next posik in Mishlei. Simple translation first, and then we see the insight of the Shaar Tshuva in this posik. Simple translation is, the posik is saying, mechase pshoav lo yatzliach, a person who tries to cover up and conceal his averis will not succeed. On the other hand, umoide v'oizev, person who admits, v'oizev, and he abandons his old ways, Yeruchim will be granted mercy. So it says, Mechaseb Shov lo yatzliach, someone who conceals his averis, lo yatzliach. Which seems to be that what? That a person should reveal his averis. We know that a balchoite who becomes a balchuve should not go telling people all the things that he has done. So what does it mean, Mechaseb Shov lo yatzliach, someone who covers his averis will not be matzliach? That implies that you have to uncover them? Does that mean that you have to publicize it, put an announcement somewhere? Says Rabbeinu Yoinu, that even though she'enu bal tshuva legalis avanoisa livnei yodom, even though we know that in fact, in reality, that a bal tshuva should not be megala, a bal tshuva should not reveal his averis to people, k'moishesh lehovin, as we can also see that, what? That what person should not reveal his averis, Mimash Omak, as the Posik says, Ubikum Rishoyim Yechupa Sodom. We quoted before the first Posik, that when Rishoyim are in power, when Rishoyim have the upper hand, then basically Yechupa Sodom, victims are sought out, victims come about. The question is, that if every person would have Yechiv to publicize his chait, so what's such a novel if Rishoyim are pointing out your chait? You yourself should be pointing it out. In other words, what's such a novel? Why is the Posik, in the first Posik, indicting Rishoyim for finding or revealing the movement of Bnei Yodom? If every person, if every Balchoyte has a chief to publicize the chait, then what's the chanel that somebody else is pointing it out? You yourself should be pointing it out. So we see that the opposite. That the averus of a person, this is his private life. And when he's doing tshuva, he's not going to tell the world. L'chayru. So what does the pasuk mean? Mechase pshuav lo yatzliach. It's referring bein odom l'moker, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechase pshuav means that a person does not acknowledge he's being a chayte, therefore he's not ready to do tshuva on it. That's lo yatzliach. If you're a mechase pshuav, where mechase pshuav means av l'chayv lehizvadoy salay, you have a chiv to say vidu, to confess, kin yichunem, as it says in Tehillim, chatosu yoydiyacho sedov namelech. I basically chatosi my sins. I have made known the avoini loikisisi. I have not covered up my avoinis. V'nemar, similarly, there's another posik in Yirmiyo. We're talking about bein odom lamokim, between man and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The posik says hinini nishpot oischa. Kodesh Baruch Hu says the reason I'm judging you, you know, I'm judging you more harshly, is because al omrech loichatosi, because you said you didn't sin. In other words, you have to admit the first thing in tshuva is to admit that you have sinned. You have to acknowledge to yourself that you have sinned, not to find all kinds of excuses. But rather you have to admit it and say chatosi. When you're not ready to say chatosi, that itself is something that a person is indicted for. Hineni nishpat oisach al omrech lechatosi. So therefore the simple meaning of the posik, mechase pshuav lo yatzliach. A person who covers up his averus will not be matzliach. Against whom is he being covered? Is he covering it up? Between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's lo yatzliach. So that's the simple pshat of the posik. Chazal have a second pshat. Here comes the Shaar Tshuva tells us. There's another pshat. Mechase pshuav lo yatzliach. A person who covers his averus lo yatzliach. It's even talking sometimes bein odom l'chaveri also. Generally speaking, as we have said, generally speaking, a person does not reveal publicly averus bein odom l'chaveri, go reveal it to people. However, there is a situation, he says, Mechach mi Yisrael zechroinam levrocha, kamar chachomim, and Pershom, they have explained it in Mesach Tizyuma. They explain themselves as Yuma that this pasuk mechase pshuav lo yatzliach is talking not only by averus ben odom lamokoyim, it's also talking sometimes about averus ben odom lachaveroi. How so? As he explains that pa'omim shemechase pshuav lo yatzliach, if a person covers up his averus lo yatzliach, kamoi ba'averus ben odom lachaveroi. What does it mean ben odom lachaveroi? You should not cover up your averus. It means to say ki ein loy kapora ad asher yoshiv hagzeilo v'hachomas v'hoishik. It's not enough, by the way, that a person returns the gzeila, he returns the chomos, the items that he has seized, or hoishik, that which is robbed. V'ad asher yevakesh mechile me'asher heitzikloy. So that's pshat mechase pshov lo yatzliach. It's a need that you have to go to the person you're ba'avot and ask mechile from him. So you can't just sit in your dalad amas. Because when it comes to averus ben odom l'chaveroi, you have to first return, whether it's the gzeil or whether the item of mamoin, but also by gzeil there's an inyan that you have to be mevakish mechila from the one that you have taken the object from. Which means the Rambam paskens in the halachis, talks about Hilchas Chayv L'mazik, Rambam Hilchas Tshuva. Gzeil being ben odom l'chaveroi, you were mitzar the person, not only you took his mamoin, but you were mitzar him. As a result of taking his mamoin, you were mitzar him. Therefore, returning the money is just taking care of the monetary aspect, but the tsar that was incurred, that deserves mechila, to be asked mechila from him. So, mechase pshuav lo yatzliach means, so you can't just sort of cover it up, but rather, bein odom l'chaveroi, you have to go to the one, you have to go to the person to whom the avla was done, and therefore, return the gzela and ask mechila. There's an enon maisa that is said about Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, the Chayin Lebrocher, Rabbi Zalman, once going to the mikveh, possibly on Erev Shabbos, whenever the situation was, on Erev Yontif, Erev Yom Kippur. So he went to the mikveh, and the mikveh had cubicles that where the person would put his clothing and so on. So there's different cubicles. On the way back from the mikveh, he always had someone, he had difficulty walking, so he had someone who was mishamishim, who walked with him, a bacher of sorts. And as he was making his way home, he was already halfway home from the mikveh. He says to the bacher, I have to return. I have to go back. So he asks him, why do you have to go back? So Mr. Zalman said, I realized that in the mikveh, removing his clothes and so on, I was mishtamish with two cubicles, and I only paid one mikveh. In other words, you pay for one person. I paid for one person, but I used more than one person would use. I was mishtamish with two cubicles. Therefore, I feel I have to pay a second time. That's Mr. Zalman. As mishtamish more than one payment allows. One payment is one per person. But I was mishtamish, I used two cubicles. So I was nehena extra, I have to pay. So the Bacher says to Rabbi Zalman, he says, wait a minute. Oh, it's okay, if the Rebbe wants to pay again, why does the Rebbe have to go back? Let me run back, give me the money, I'll go back. Rabbi Zalman said, wait a minute. If there's a cheshash gezeila, again, he took this chumra upon himself, he called it gezeila, and this cheshash gezeila, it's not enough to return the money. Mechila has to also be asked whoever was the balabos of the mikveh. Mechila cannot be done al-dei shliach. Money can be paid al-dei shliach, but mechila cannot be done al-dei shliach. Mechila, you have to go yourself. This is the nekuda here that the Shari Tshuva Lamais is pointing out. That mechasa pshuav lo yatzliach. You have to face it. You have to face it. He said, ad asher yivakish mechila masher heitzik lo, you have to ask mechila from the one that you have oppressed. Or maybe he'll been pun off. Could be a different chet. Doesn't have to be a monetary situation. He'll been pun off. You embarrassed someone. You shamed someone. Reminds me, he'll been pun off, the mitzvah with Rameir Shapiro. Now, Shapiro, of course, held hundreds and hundreds of drushes literally in his lifetime. And being the master orator that he was, the master baldarshan, he came in a particular place and he said a gevaldig gevort, said a gevaldig drusha. And he said a particular chiddush pshat in a posik. And someone speaks out in the middle of the drusha and says, Rebbe, I have good news for you. The Malbim says pshat like that. And Rameir Shapiro said, not Malbim, Malbin p'nei chaveri b'rabin. He says, it's not Malbim. So anyway, so if it's a Malbim ponov, after that's Mechila. Or maybe you sipper all of Lashon Hara. Or maybe you slandered someone. So mechasa pshov, you can't mechasa pshov lo yitzliach. You know, do tshuva between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, you have to ask Mechila from that person that you have slandered. Or ba'verish, and now he goes further. And sometimes it has to be public, even Averish ibn Adam Lamokim also. How? Oy Averish ibn Adam Lamokim. Shin is parsimu of Neyodom. Averish ibn Adam Lamokim, that became public. Oh. So now you're now working in a different dimension. A person is doing Averish ibn Adam Lamokim. However, it's not in a private room. People know that he was over Averish ibn Adam Lamokim. So let's say somebody know Lamoshli was Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos is Ben Odom Lamokim. But it became public knowledge. If it became public knowledge, the Shari Tshuva says here, Moir de Gizach. Shari Tshuva says that if you do an Aveira, even though it's Ben Odom Lamokim, but if it's public knowledge, he says, Kuho Oise Aveiris Befresye Mechal Eles Hashem. That's called Chil Hashem. Now, one of the Choshev Rosh Yeshivas today is Rabbi Avraham Orlanger, Mechaber of the Sefer, a very well-known Sefer, Birchas Avraham. Very Choshev Alondish Sefer on many Mesechtes, and Yeshivish Mesechtes, the Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah, which is an Elter Yid of the Talmud of the Briskerov. And they also put out from him a Sefer on Musar and so on. And he brings here on the Shari Tshuva that he says this is a very frightening thing. Ki oisa veiris befresi mechalas Hashem. You realize, you can do an Aveira, let's just, for lack of a better way of wording it, you can do a small Aveira, if there is such a thing. You can do a small Aveira, but if it's done Befresia, it becomes the biggest Aveira in the world because it becomes Chil Hashem. There's no greater Aveira than Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem goes to the extent that the Gemara in Yuma tells us, between the Arbor, Chiluke, Kapora, the four different levels of Tshuva, Chil Hashem, the Gemara says, Misa is Mechaper. Misa B'dei Shemaim. Person leaves this world. Which means to say that even Yisurin, Chil Hashem, is so serious. There's good news also, by the way, but let's just stick with that. The Gemara says, just to give you an idea what Chil Hashem means. If you're Mechal Hashem, if your behavior is such as Mechal Hashem, so the Gemara says, Yisurin is toilin, Yisurin will just suspend your situation temporarily, but Misa Memarikis. It's Misa that's Memarik. So Chil Hashem is really the biggest Avera of all Averas. Chil Hashem! Because what's happening is, it's not just you doing an Avera, you're actually desecrating Hashem's name. So Hashem's reputation is on the line. So if your behavior causes a negative reflection on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Kodesh Baruch Hu now is being put on trial. So Chil Hashem is the biggest Avera. Biggest Avera, Chil Hashem. Says Rabbi Avraham Orlanger, which you see from this Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a frightening thought. That if you do an Aveira, no matter how small an Aveira, let's call it, but if you didn't befresia, you just didn't refrain from doing it among other people, it turns into Chil Hashem, which is the highest level of an Aveira. So what does he say? What should we say this and that? Yes or no? So he says, So if someone is in shul, he says during davening, and he speaks during chazoras hashatz, which is definitely an avera, but you're doing it befresia, it's chil Hashem, you have now done the biggest avera in the world. So it's not the talking davening that's the problem. It's the chil Hashem. Think about that cheshbon. It's a frightening thing. All of a sudden, a simple avera, so to speak, becomes elevated to the highest madrega of an avera. That's how you learn Rishonim. That's what he sees in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. And that's what he's saying. He's not telling you what kind of an avera. Who, if you do an avera, befresi, mechalas Hashem. That's called chel Hashem. So you now, the fact that you have done it, and that happens many. So Lashon Hara, you do in which you speak Barabbim, same thing, turns into chel Hashem. Lashon Hara is big enough, but now it turns into chel Hashem. So any type of avera that a person would do, all of a sudden turns Meiridik. So it turns now into, and he goes further, he says, could be sometimes a kind of litzonis, which is not acceptable. There's litzonis, people sometimes speak, but it's unacceptable litzonis. Could be something like a nivel peh. Let's say. It was a low class nivel peh. But you're saying it berabim here? You're doing it berabim? So now it turns into chil Hashem. Because doing an avera befresia is defined as a chil Hashem. But the good news is, what the Shaar Teshuvah tells us here, that what's the tikkun for that? Kiddush Hashem. The tikkun for Chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. How are you Mekadosh Hashem? Because the Oifim of Teshuvah should be something that people see. People who saw you doing the Avera Befresia, when you did it Befresia, you did the Avera Befresia, your Teshuvah also should be done in a Befresic way. Your Tzar should be clearly seen by the people around you, and they recognize that you are undergoing the process of tshuva. That turns the avera of chilul Hashem into kiddush Hashem. So in such a case, you cannot cover it up, because the rabbim have to see it, because the kiddush Hashem is the befresia part. Like the chilul Hashem was befresia, so now you have to be misakin the befresia. You have to be misakin befresia, making it a kiddush Hashem befresia. So mechasip psoav lo yatzliach. That a person is going to be mechases pshoim, then he's not being mekadosh Hashem befresia. So lo yatzliach, you're not going to succeed. Because here, davkit's essential. The chelik befresia is very important. Because that's the direct tikkun, hepech, the way you have done the avera. Let's take a look at the words here. So now, here's another example, says the Shaar Teshuvah, of mechases pshoim, where you cannot conceal. You cannot conceal the avera. But the befresia, the tshuva of the avera has to be known. So you have a chiev to mourn and to bemoan the avera in front of people. People should say, somebody said to himself, you know what, I sat 5 hours in my room and I cried my heart out. It's gewaldig, but for chil Hashem that's not enough. Maybe the door has to be opened. Maybe people should see how you're sobbing and weeping. Because that is the tikkun that's needed for Chil Hashem. For Chil Hashem, it's needed Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem has to be seen. You made Chil Hashem. Everybody saw it. That was the befresia. So, Chayiv lihis oineinu lisabel aleim lifnei ben yodim lekaddish Hashem. Timi kaddish em shemayim. Vezehu shekosuv. And therefore, says the Shaar Teshuvah, that's what Yirmiyahu Novi means, he says, I believe. Look at the Pasuk here in Yirmiyahu Novi. Let's read the Pasuk. And now we have a new insight into this Pasuk, the way the Shaar Teshuvah is learning. Yirmiyahu Novi says, regarding the Pasuk, he says, Ki achre shuvi nechamti. The achre hivodi sofakti al yorech. Okay, let's repeat the Pasuk again. Yirmiyahu Novi says, the first part of the Pasuk, Ki achre shuvi. After my returning, nechamti, it means I regret it. In other words, a person who's doing tshuva, right, ke achre shuvi, after my returning, nechamti, he says, I've regretted everything that I've done. Fine. And he says further, the achre, he says, hivodi, and after becoming aware of my averis, he says, sofakti al yorech, I slapped my thigh. Slap my thigh means showing my anguish. Slapping my thigh means in anguish. In other words, this is the idea. That it should become known, it should be seen. So now he explains. This pasuk that we just said, he breaks it up into two parts. I regret it after I've returned. After I've returned, meaning I'm doing tshuva, so I regret my past. And when I became aware of my sins, he says, I slapped my thigh in pain, in anguish. So, the first pasuk, Inyan Nechamti. When he says, Achrei Shuvi Nechamti, what does Nechamti mean? I repented. What does Nechamti mean? That means Hachrot of Atzar. That's what Nechamti means. When the pasuk says that when I returned, Nechamti, I regretted. What does it mean? What's the definition of regretting? The definition of regretting means Charot in Tzar. That's referring to the regret and the suffering. As mentioned before, Ki Ikara Tshuva, because of course the mainstay of Tshuva is B'meriris Halev Kasha B'yarnu. There has to be Meriris Halev, the bitterness of the heart that the heart feels. That's the first part of the posik. The first part of the posik says that he felt Charot in Tzar. But that's not enough. Comes the second part of the posik. What's the second part? The Achrei Hivadi Safakti al Yorech. What does Hivadi mean? Not just that I found out. The Achrei Hivadi means Achrei Shenoidati Livnei Odom Visparsimu, he says, Avenoisai. In other words, once my Averis become a foursome to other people, so now my tshuva has to be a type of tshuva that other people also should be aware. Enough people only know that I sinned, but they don't know the tshuva. So then there's no balance between the tshuva and the Avera. The Avera everybody sees, and the tshuva nobody sees, or very few saw. Many more saw the Avera. So the Achrei Hivadi means, Achrei Shenoidati Livnayodam Visparsum Avenoisai. When my Avera has become a foursome, he Sabolti B'maisim Nirim Livnayodam. I performed acts of mourning that people can see, that people are aware of it. Like what? Kemoi Safoi Kal Yorech, like slapping my thigh. That's just an expression of where people can see the tsar that I feel openly. Which is an open demonstration of my tsar that I feel. And Venemar, and to substantiate that also we find the Posik in Eiv. Where in fact the Posik in Eiv says that Yoshoer al Anoshim Vayoimer Chotosi Veyoshoer He'evesi. It means, Eiv says, Yoshoer al Anoshim, that he goes around to people. Yoshoer is a Moshin Shura. Yoshoer al Anoshim. The Baal Tshuva will walk around, will go around to people, and what will he say? And to the people he will say, Vayoimer Chotosi, Veyoshoer He'evesi. I made crooked that which was straight. Veyoshoer He'evesi. I made crooked that which was straight. So again, pointing out that sometimes, Mechase Pshuav Lo Yatzliach. And that is when an Aveir was done Befresye. So the manner in the Oifen of Tshuva, has to be also Be'oifen Befresye. Because the Tikkun for Chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. And this now becomes the Oifen of the Kiddush Hashem. So this is the second posik, Mechase Pshuav Lo Yatzliach. Sometimes you cannot cover it up. And that is where the tshuva itself requires that there should be a befresidig aspect to it, where the tshuva itself, right, requires it. But the posik has an ending. We said it before. This second posik we're up to now. Mechaseh pshuav lo yasliach, however, umoideh ve'oizev, somebody who admits, ve'oizev yeruchim, he'll be granted mercy. So comes now Rabbeinu Yoinen and says, sif yutes, umoideh ve'oizev yeruchim, pirish. Now, realize, Moide v'yoyzev Yeruchim. Who will be granted mercy? Yeruchim will be granted mercy. Who? The Moide v'yoyzev. Moide v'yoyzev seem to be two elements. Moide, saying vidui, he admits, confesses, and oyzev. We know tshuva is three things. Charote, right? There's charote, azive, oyzev, and, right? And vidui. So you have charote also. How come the posik only mentions two things? The posik only mentions two things. Umoide v'yoyzev Yeruchim. Moide is vidui, admitting it, confessing. And oizev means aziv zachet, right? Stopping, forsaking. What about charote? Comes the shahar tshuva, says immediately, pirish. Afal pi ki yesoides ha-tshuva shloisha. Even though we know that the foundations of tshuva are three things. What are the three things? Ha-charote v'ha-vidui v'aziv zachet. And here the posik only mentions two things. Says the shahar tshuva, no. Vidui automatically means charote. Because if there's no charata, vidui is meaningless. The definition of vidui is expressing what you feel. Vidui is not just an exercise of words. As a matter of fact, as the Mefarshim explained, when a person says vidui, but he does not really mean it, his heart is not in it, that video itself is a chet. And that's what we do tshuva on Yom Kippur, v'chet shechatonu bevidui peh. What does that mean? V'chet shechatonu bevidui peh. Vidui peh, the chagvaldi gezachta say vidui. We mean v'chet shechatonu. V'chet shechatonu bevidui peh, you said vidui, I mean there was no charata. In other words, he has a machzer, conveniently he reads off all the al-chets. But the guy to nishtu and yoyo nishnisha, he says it. He has to finish the al-chets, that's it. That's v'chet shechatonu bevidui peh. Vidui means charata. But charata is belayed. Vidu is expressing, not just saying. Vidu is expressing, revealing, bringing out the charote. So when the pasuk says umoide ve'oizev umoide, including in the word umoide, it's charote automatically. So the pasuk is not only talking about two things, moide ve'oizev. In the word umoide, charote is implied. It's implicit. You can't have one without the other. Vidu without charote doesn't mean anything. Shon Shadron used to say from one of his rabbeim, Balamusa, he says, a person basically who's saying vidui, al-chet-chir-tonu, talks about very, very admirable words, and yet the maise there's no charote, he doesn't have in mind even to change his ways. So he says, the moshel is if someone, he says, got on a train to reach a destination, he's supposed to go north, so he finds out that the train is going south. So instead of getting off the train is going south, he walks towards north in the car, he's walking towards north. But the train is still taking him south. So he's walking towards north. Where's he going to go? So he says, his vidu is taking him supposedly in this direction, but his behavior is still going the other way. So his vidu is supposed to go in one direction. According to his vidu, according to his words, he's supposed to be going in one direction by his words, and yet his behavior is the opposite of what he's saying. So his words doesn't mean anything. It's like walking within the train. If you don't change, you don't get out of the car, you don't change course, you can keep walking north. He says, you're still going south, or the other way around. It's not going to help you. So this is what the Shaar Tshuva is telling us. Umoide v'oizev yeruchim, pirish. That afa piki yisoydes ha-tshuva shloitcho. Hacharote v'avidu v'aziv v'zachet. Hacharote v'avidu v'bechlal moide. When the pasuk is umoide v'oizev, including in the word moide, he says both are included. Charote v'iru included. Ka mizvade mischoret. Because one who says vidui has charote. V'ein tshuva p'chusa mishloitcho elot. There is no tshuva without these three things. With these three things, there's still much more that you can add. But this is the fundamental. The fundamental, the groundwork, the foundation of tshuva has to encompass these three things. Or else you didn't get off the ground, really. To get off the ground in tshuva is three things. You have to have charote, azive, stop the behavior, and vidui. He says, ki ha-mischaret u-mizvade ve-nenu oizav achet. If someone is mischaret, for example, mizvade, but it's not oiz of achet, that's doim elamisha toivel v'sheretz biyodo, shall also let tefillah. Ochet, however, moide v'oizev yeruchem. But someone who is a moide, he confesses, and accompanied with charot, as mentioned before, and he's oizev, ki hu bal ha-tshuva, he's a bal tshuva. That already is called a bal tshuva. However, afal pi sheyesh l'tshuva madrego is rabbi is kasha biyano. However, it can go much higher. This already qualifies you to be called a Baal Tshuva. You're not class A. You're at the lowest level Baal Tshuva. But you're a Baal Tshuva, nevertheless. You're a Baal Tshuva. But there's no end in terms of how much and how far a Baal Tshuva can grow and rise. The Madregas of Tshuva can go on and on and on. And that's why when we're learning here Shaar Tshuva, you already went beyond. In the original, Sifim, Azive, Charotim, Vidui. Therefore he talks about Yogoin. He talks about Daige, which is going to come up right now. This was a Hagdomah, the Mamish to the next Sif, which is a small Sif, Sif Chof, because all of this was Hagdomah to the third Pasuk. What's the third Pasuk he's going to try to tell us? Because Daige is another Iker in the Baal Tshuva that he should worry. Don't be overly confident just because you became a Baal Tshuva that's going to stay that way. You have to keep working at it. You can't stop. You can't relax. You can't just sit back on your laurels. Why? Because there's a Pasuk Omer Achakein Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomit. The Pasuk says, praiseworthy is a man who always fears. Umakshe liboy, on the other hand, a stubborn heart, it says, yipoil bero. He will fall, right? He will fall into misfortune. He will fall into misfortune. A stubborn heart will fall, yipoil bero. Makshe liboy, a stubborn heart will fall into misfortune. And he explains, pirish. Now you realize, Asher the Mefakir Tomid. We're talking about a person who became a full-fledged Baal Tshuva. He said vidui appropriately because it was accompanied with charote. There's azivas achet. So now you think, okay, it's not yet okay. It's okay in terms of you're a Baal Tshuva, but your life needs continuous supervision. Pirish af apishu moide v'yoyzev. Because this pasuk is the third pasuk. This pasuk actually Yodam follows the pasuk moide v'yoyzev that we just discussed. So in spite of the fact that you already are a moide v'yoyzev, you are already a confirmed Baal Tshuva, but still, Ashra Yodam Mefachitomid, Yeshalu Lefachitomid, Ulai Lo Hishlim Chayka Tshuva. There's a number of things, by the way, it's not just one area of Pachat. There's a few areas of Pachat that you must have. And that is, he says, Ulai Lo Hishlim Chayka Tshuva. Maybe you did not satisfy the Chayka Tshuva. Why? Because maybe your Chatoim was on such a Madrega that your Charota maybe was not enough. Maybe you're not severing yourself from the past enough. So even though you think you went through the process of Tshuva, how do you know? Maybe the type of Aveira, maybe the kind of a life that you led demands a higher level. Kitzricha, he says, Lamadregis Rabois. The Yosef Oimis Bechol Yoim, and therefore the Baal Tshuva had to continue strengthening Lahasaka Madregis, had to keep working on acquiring better levels of Tshuva. That's one area of Pachat. Again, one area of Pachat is that maybe Bechlal, he thinks it's a Baal Tshuva. How do you know your Baal Tshuva? How do you know your Charota is really enough? If you could have like a type of a machine that you hook up with wires to try to measure, you know, your level of charote. And to find out, how do you know? How do you know where the pin is going to move? How far the pin is going to move? How do you know your level of charote is enough regarding this type of an aveira, according to your situation? And there's a second level of pachat, a second area of pachat. Gam yifchad ula yischadish olav yisroi. He also has to worry that maybe the Yetzer will come anew, fresh. The yishma memenu b'chaleis, and therefore has to be on guard. To be Shomer himself, the Yosef Yiras Hashem Benafshei Tomid. That's the bottom line. A person has to continuously work on his Yiras Shemayim, and very important, the Yispalel Tomid El Hashem LeOzro El Hatshuva VeLatzila MiYisroi Tefillah. You have to stand it, continuously be Mispalel, because Baruch Hu should help you, give you Siyata Shemayim to do Tshuva properly. And Rabbi Sai, that is the reason why in the Shemayim Esra we daven three times a day. Hashiveinu avinu l'sayrosecho. There is a tefillah, but we have to be mechavim. That's what the Shai Tshuva is telling us, that a person has to continuously be mispalel for tshuva. And it is incorporated in our Shemoneh Esrei, Hashiveinu avinu l'sayrosecho. Every day, not even once a day, three times a day. That's Hashiveinu. And also, Latzila miyetzor. We say in the brachas, after you say the birchas, the shachar in the morning, you say all those brachas. We say, Vatzatzeleini, mipegarah, meodamrah, and also miyetzor. So we have Yehirotzins there. We have Tfilis that have been incorporated, that we are Mispalo, that the Yetzer Hara should not affect over us. That's very, very important Tfilis. By the way, when we say Saslein Mepegara, people during, you know, in the course of a day, and you go out into the workforce, and you encounter all types of people that cause you trouble, situations, uncomfortable Matzovim. And then there's always this situation of Sechsuchim that one person has with the other. There is a tefillah that a person should be mechavim. That would serve as a shmira. Some business happens all the time. Who your clients are going to be, who your customers are going to be. There's some people you'd rather never have met them in your life. Maybe you had a little more kavona when you're saying in the morning, maybe you would not have had that experience. That's put right in there. And you're saying it every day, because every day is a new Nisoy, you meet new people every day. Right? And therefore, you're encountering all types of people. And therefore, the more people that you meet, different areas, different requirements, you go to one day, I go here, and the next day, I go there. You never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to bump into. There's a special tefillah to be protected from that. And that's the spell of Tomid El Hashem. On the other hand, what does that mean? A person who has a stubborn heart will fall into misfortune. How does the Shaar Tshuva interpret that? You know what that means? It means, Makshalibo means, a person says, I'm very confident. I already was Yaiser. I already did what I'm supposed to do. I'm already accomplished. And I don't have to exert myself. I'm okay. Now when he slips, he'll get into trouble. He'll be an Einish. That's a Balgaiva, first of all. He's a Balgaive ve'inenu makir migras nafshoi. He doesn't recognize the deficiency of his neshama, coming from such an attitude, there's a deficiency. There's a deficiency in his neshama. There's a lowness. He also doesn't understand the chiyuv that he has towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If he thinks you're a yaitze, how do you think you're a yaitze? Your job is it was yaitze to perfection, like God klape Kodesh Baruch Hu. Do you realize whom you're serving? That means he's not makir goydel chiyuv la hachshir drachov to better his ways be yisro and hechshir l'vid Hashem. Gamanenu nishmar also, he is not protecting himself me yitzroi, because he's confident. Who oyd of loytom and the Yitzhar, who's always lurking. So as a result, if he's not standing on guard, he's not Moisev Yerushimayim, Al-Kain Yippul B'Yad Yitzroi, he will fall in the hands of the Yitzhar. So the pasuk like this, Umak Shaliboy, a person who is stubborn of heart, explained the Shara Tshuva means, Ho'oymer B'Liboy, Kvar Shlamti, I don't have to continue working, I don't continue working my spiritual life of Tshuva, I'm already accomplished. Yippul B'Ro, the word Ro means in his Yitzhar. That's a guarantee, you will fall again. The Yitzhar will get the better of you. That's what Yippul B'Ro means, according to the Shara Tshuva, because you're Mak Shaliboy. So let me just conclude, Rabbi Yisai, we'll finish with this. When we talk about the situations, of course, about Yetzer Hara, what Yetzer Hara means. And it's a very fascinating thing to mention, that we all know the story of Hillel, where the Ger came to Hillel and asked to be Megayer him al Regel Achas. So he wanted to be taught Kol HaTorah Kula, standing on one leg. And basically, he wanted to hear a fundamental principle that all the ideals of the Torah are based on that principle. And everybody knows what Hillel told him, what did Hillel say to him? Hillel said, Da aloch sani lechavroch loisavit. Which literally means, to appreciate it, first let's get the Pashto Pshat. Da aloch sani, that which is hateful to you, lechavroch loisavit, do not do unto your friend. In other words, what you hate, you don't want others to do to you, be sensitive to other people's needs. Da aloch sani, that which you hate for yourself, lechavroch loisavit. So the Dubna Magid brings down in Sefer Oyel Yaakov, in Parshas Kedoshim, to understand, he says, with Hillel, basically replied, he says, to the Ger. And the Magid said as follows. He says, imagine, he said, there was a young boy who basically became a Yosef. Became a Yosef, he lost both parents, his father and his mother, and he inherited a large sum of money. So he yarshened a large sum of money, but the boy realized that he has no business training, and he does not know how to invest that money. So therefore, what does he do? He has no experience, so he goes over to an uncle, he had an uncle, and he asked his uncle for financial advice, and the uncle says to him, you came to the right place. Just give me the money, I'll invest it for you. He says to him, I'll invest it to you, and together we'll make a very big profit. Says the uncle. The trusting youngster was his uncle, so he readily agreed to the uncle, and he gives him the money. He goes home very confident that his money is in good hands. It turns out that the uncle invested the money carelessly. He invested the money carelessly, and he lost much of his nephew's wealth. Not only that, when a venture went sour, he told the nephew that the losses were significant. And when there was profit, he kept the money for himself. So the boy, but he realized that this something's not working over here. So he realizes that his money was dwindling. So the nephew goes to the rov of the town, and he tells him about the unfortunate situation. He says, I don't know what to say to my uncle. Says the Dubna Magid, so the Rav says to him, listen, at this point, says the Rav, it's useless for me to try to give you advice, because whatever I'm going to tell you, he says, is going to be refuted by your uncle, and you in your innocence believe that he's your friend, and that he has your best interests at heart, and nothing, said the Rav, is further from the truth. He's your enemy. He saw an opportunity to get wealthy and he took advantage of you. You first have to acknowledge that he is your foe, he says. He's not your friend. Then I can advise you. Kozman, you don't recognize that he's your enemy, I can't advise you. So the Magid explains and he says that this is the relationship, he said, between man and his Yetzer Hara that we're talking about here in the Shara Tshuva. This exactly is the relationship, says the Magid, between man and his Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara's role is to convince man that when he is sinning, that is to sin, and he's going to achieve, he says, happiness, and he's going to achieve success. And even eventually, if a man recognizes, or he knows that the acts are forbidden, the Yetzer Hara says to him, don't worry, because Baruch will forgive you. Don't worry about it. So the Yetzer Hara comes and poses as a friend. On the surface, it seems to be a good advice of a friend, because he says, leave a happy life. Just go ahead and do whatever your heart desires. This is a friend. He's out for my happiness. That's the impression the Yetzer Hara would like to give you. It says, the Magid, however, he says, Yetzer Hara is your enemy. And his only goal, of course, is to ruin you spiritually. However, the twisted logic of a person is only natural to be misguided to mistaken perceptions. So what Hillel told the Ger, listen to these words, Nahat, these words, and look how the Dubna Magid interpreted. Hillel says to the Ger, you're now entering a new fold. You're entering a fold where you have commitment, you have a life, you now have to change your lifestyle, you have to live a life of Torah. So I want you to know as follows. The Aloch Sani, the one who really hates you, that means the Yetzer Hara, Lechavroch Loisavid, don't turn him into your friend. He's your enemy. The Aloch Sani, the one who really hates you, who's your enemy, Lechavroch Loisavid, don't turn him into your friend. But recognize him for what he is. And when you recognize him for what he is, then you're able to change your ways and really turn your life around and become a proper Baal Teshuva.